think it's almost guaranteed that today's show will leave you with a very good feeling. So by 10 o'clock this morning, you can expect that even if you're not feeling so good right now. On the phone with us is author and motivational speaker Mike Robbins. He's going to be visiting with us about his new book, Focus on the Good Stuff, The Power of Appreciation. And as we all know, we're bombarded with lots of negativity. We've almost gotten so used to it that we maybe don't even notice how much is coming at us at any given time. And oftentimes we're very hard on ourselves as well. So we're going to turn all that around today with the help of Mike Robbins, who has turned things around in his own life, and he joins us by phone at this very moment. Good morning to you, Mike.
Morning, Gabby. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. You and I have been trying to get together on a date for a long time, and I'm glad we finally made it happen as we talk about the power of appreciation, focusing on the good stuff. You know, that sounds simple, Mike. It sounds simple, but not so simple to do.
No, easier said than done, as I often say. And for me, you know, the journey of this process really in my own life started with my baseball career. I was, from the time I was 7 years old, Kathy, all I ever wanted to do was play in the major leagues, and I was fortunate enough to get an opportunity to play at Stanford University, where when I was in college, I actually played in Omaha at the College World Series, which was a big highlight for me.
Uh-huh.
And after my time actually in Omaha at the College World Series, I got drafted by the Kansas City Royals and was working my way up to the major leagues and the minor leagues with the Royals. In my third season in the minor leagues with Kansas City, I went out to pitch one night, and unfortunately, I blew out my arm, and my career ended because of an injury. And, you know, at the age of 23, there I was, my baseball career over, and the dream that I'd had since I was a little boy had ended. And as difficult as that was, as I look back on the whole experience, the only regret that I had was that I didn't fully appreciate it while it was happening. I was too busy trying to make it that I wasn't really focusing on the good stuff. And I think that, as I moved on in life and looked around at other people and myself, I realized that seemed to be a pretty common phenomenon in our culture, that a lot of us are in the middle of really great things in our lives. We're just the only ones that don't notice because we're too busy trying to get to the next thing. So that's really the premise of my book, Focus on the Good Stuff, and the work that I've been doing as a motivational speaker for the last 10 years.
We should also mention that Richard Carlson was a wonderful mentor to you.
Yes.
We enjoyed having him on Problems and Solutions, and he died very suddenly last December. What a loss that was. But I know his wife is very, very heartwarmed by the fact that you are kind of carrying on where he left off. Your message is much the same as his, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, I appreciate you saying that. Quite an honor to be compared to Richard, who wrote Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. And, you know, I actually read Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. It came out about 10 years ago on my way to spring training, my very last spring training, after I'd been hurt right before the Royals released me sort of the end of my career. And it was one of the most significant things that helped me personally move through that very difficult time in my personal life and allowed me to sort of, you know, start to focus on some good stuff in my own life. And then I was fortunate enough to meet Richard very soon after that. And he and I became not only with a professional relationship, but became very good personal friends. And he taught me so much, not only about my work, but really about life and about, you know, being a good person and a good father. And he did write the foreword for my book back in November of last year. And then sadly and shockingly to all of us, he passed away very unexpectedly in December. And, you know, the world lost a great, great teacher and author, and I lost an incredible friend and mentor. But his message continues to live on, not only in me, but in a lot of other people who he influenced. And I feel him with me all the time. And, you know, it's a little bit bittersweet for me as I travel around the country talking about the book and about my work. And a lot of people like you ask me about him. So I'm glad that I get to talk about him,
yeah.
Although I do miss him all the time.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And I really enjoyed his foreword in the book,
yeah.
Knowing that that was probably one of the last things that he wrote.
Yeah.
And it's so very, very heartfelt.
Mm.
As you share your personal story with us, Mike, about when all of this happened to you in your early 20s, and I'm sure that that was a lifelong dream, and all of a sudden you were faced with, what do I do next? Obviously, you had a down period of time. How did you go about pulling yourself out of it?
Well, I mean, thanks to books like Don't Sweat the Small Stuff and a lot of really amazing people in my life, my family and friends, and, you know, it was just kind of reaching out to them and sharing kind of how I was feeling and what was going on. And the reality was, you know, Kathy, was starting to take some inventory of the good things in my life. Now, granted, this big dream that I had ended, but, there's so many wonderful things about my life and what I got to do. I mean, you know, I got an opportunity to play baseball at Stanford. I got my education. You know, I live still now in the San Francisco Bay Area, which is such a beautiful, amazing place to live. And, you know, it was really looking at, wow, this didn't happen. This didn't work out, this dream that I had. But look at all the good things that are working out. And so it was that process and kind of going inside, if you will, a little bit. And as I work with people now, whether it's one-on-one or whether I'm speaking to a corporate group or I'm speaking to a group of young people in a school or just some folks that come and do a workshop with me on appreciation, that's a lot of what my work is all about. It's very simple, but it's like take some inventory of your life and the good things, especially, by the way, when we're in the midst of something challenging, because that's the time we often don't look for the good stuff. We're too obsessed with what we think is wrong with us or the world around us.
That is so true. And when I opened the show, I know you heard me say that we are so bombarded with negativity today.
Yeah.
Wherever we turn, that we do almost become numb to it. It's just there, but it really affects our whole being.
Yeah, it really does, you know, and there's so much of it. You know, I was listening actually on the break here to the news and, you know, this horrible story of what happened in Cleveland with the high school student yesterday. And, you know, it's just, I mean, things like that, you know, sadly, those things happen and we hear about them, and I don't believe we should avoid them per se, but the reality is we get obsessed. And I was in Houston actually in April, the day of the Virginia Tech shooting, and I was speaking to Chevron that morning, and then I got into a cab and was driving to the airport, and I was really upset, as I'm sure a lot of people were. People listening remember that horrible day. And I was talking to the cab driver, and it turned out he's told me that he was from Ethiopia originally, but had been living in the United States for a number of years, had two teenage sons he was raising in Houston. And I'm not sure what exactly moved me to ask him this question, but I said, sir, if you don't mind, what's your perspective on this culture, given that, I know you lived here for a while, but you weren't raised here, what do you think? And he paused for a second and he said, can I be honest with you, Mike? And I said, please. He said, you know, I think that most people in this culture act like spoiled brats. And I said, really? He said, look, Mike, I'm from Ethiopia. Every day here's a good day.
Hmm.
And I thought it was such a profound statement that he made. And I don't share this with people right now or in general as a way so that we should feel guilty or shamed, but the reality is, Kathy, you and I and so many of us listening, even with the challenges in our lives, given where we live and what we get to do and being in this culture, we have so many gifts and so many blessings and so many good things. And if we waste our time and energy focused on the bad stuff in the world or within our own lives, we just miss out on such a great opportunity to enjoy the lives that we have.
And so you are saying that even though we obviously we can't be insulated from knowing, we need to know what's happening in the
yes.
world and assimilate it. But despite all this, we need to learn to count our blessings.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's also the whole first third of focus on the good stuff, as you know, is I focus a lot on the bad stuff. Why are we so obsessed with negativity? And some of it is that we're inundated with it through the media and other places. But, you know, people talk about it at work. We stand around the water cooler and gossip about people or family gatherings or, you know, things like that. And we just have to become aware of it. Again, there's always going to be negativity. This is not some Pollyanna, like everything's fine, pie in the sky. This is really just choosing. But I think we spend a disproportionate amount of attention and energy on the negative aspects of life. And if we can notice that and see the impact that it has, and pay attention to the stuff that we're reading and watching and talking about, we can start to make some choices. I think most of the time we're just unconscious and we go through our days and our lives and don't realize how much of this negative stuff is coming at us and how much of it's in our own head, that if we start to pay attention to it, we can actually shift it gradually.
I think sometimes people are not sure when they see a book that has some exercises that they need to go through. They're thinking, do I really want to participate in this? But you have some real life exercises that really cause you to take an up close and personal look at things that you're being critical about, at
yep.
negative conversations that you might be involved in, or and it's very eye opening and very enlightening. I think it's good stuff, Mike.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I mean, I feel like if we're going to engage in a book like Focus on the Good Stuff, it's all common sense stuff, but if we don't practice it and actually engage with it at a deep personal level, you know, it doesn't really make that much difference.
Exactly. Our guest today is Mike Robbins. If you want to purchase a copy of his book, Focus on the Good Stuff, The Power of Appreciation is the title. You might also visit his website at mike-robbins.com. It is published by Jossie Bass, and we will be back with more on Problems and Solutions in just a little bit. So happy to be able to share the words of wisdom of Mike Robbins with you today on Problems and Solutions. He has just written a terrific book, Focus on the Good Stuff, The Power of Appreciation. Could be a life changer for you. Could be some of the best money you ever spend. And he joins us by phone this morning. As we talk about negativity in our culture today, Mike, one of the things that we should talk about is that sometimes nobody's harder on us than we are on ourselves.
Oh, isn't that the truth? You know, I mean, we could talk all about what's out there in the world and people saying what they say, but fundamentally, I believe the most important conversation we have all day is the one we have inside our own head. And the reality of it is, you know, I read something recently that said as human beings we have on average about 50,000 separate thoughts a day, and that in most cases about 80% of them are negative. So that's really the place, you know, the fifth principle. I have five principles in Focus on the Good Stuff, but the fifth one, which is really the foundation, and I save it for the last, even though it's the most important, is for us to appreciate ourselves. But as you said, and I'm sure so many people listening can relate to, we're so hard on ourselves, and I call it, in Focus on the Good Stuff, as you know, the gremlin, right? That little voice in our head that's constantly critiquing and criticizing and, you know, and it seems to always be at work, right?
Yes.
I know, you know, and for me, like, I'll give you a perfect example. Even being on an interview like this with you, Kathy, which I've been doing lots and lots of these, and I love it, but my gremlin's voice will start to pop up and say things like, oh, don't say that, or you should say this, or why didn't you say that, or you're talking too much. And, you know, I mean, constantly, even in the moment, critiquing, and especially after the fact.
Yeah.
And so the key for us is just to, again, notice it, have some compassion for it. But what we got to remember is we can't let that gremlin run our lives because he or she doesn't have our best interests in mind. And if we can notice it just as a voice and then realize, again, we have choice about it, we can start to make some different decisions. We don't have to listen to that negative voice in our head all the time. We can actually start to do some different things.
If that gremlin gets in your head between now and 10 o'clock or after this show ends, how will you get rid of it? Because you certainly, it would not be right.
Right. Well, some of it, I think for me personally, and this is what I try to teach people, is again, we don't want to resist against it. So again, we want to notice it and just hear it. And then being able to, you know, once you can hear it and see it, okay, that's just my gremlin. That's not me. You know, if I listen to that voice, I couldn't really have this conversation with you very effectively or get up and speak in front of people when I do. And so what we've got to do in our own lives, again, is just notice it. But then as we start to practice some of this, appreciating ourselves, you know, off the air, you and I were talking a little bit about compliments and how it's difficult for a lot of us sometimes to receive compliments. That's one of the big ways our gremlin will show up, is someone will give you a compliment, and then people, you know, have you ever noticed, Kathy, maybe you personally and other people listening can probably relate to this, that people get really funny about receiving compliments?
Yes.
Well, so here's the big thing to do. And again, I say this in the book, but I'll say this very emphatically now. When someone gives you a compliment, first thing you do is just breathe and actually listen to what they say. The second thing you do is say thank you. And then the third thing, and this is the most important one that we usually forget, is then shut your mouth. Because usually whatever you say after the thank you is always weird and insincere. Right?
Yes.
It's some version of a phony compliment back to them you don't really mean because you're uncomfortable. Or even worse, and this one happens more often, is that we'll somehow disagree with them or argue, right? Someone will say, oh, you look wonderful. Oh, no, I don't. I look terrible. It's like, why would we do that, right? But all that is our gremlin can't accept the compliment, so then we act really strange about it.
And by doing that, then you're also being not very nice to the person who was being kind to you in the first place, paying you the compliment. It's sort of like questioning their judgment.
Exactly. It makes them feel like an idiot, right? Then they're thinking, why did I do that? And it's awkward. And the thing is, in our culture, the last thing that most of us ever want to feel is uncomfortable or embarrassed. I'll give you a funny example not related to compliments, and then we'll come back to it. I was jogging recently in my neighborhood, and I love to run in the morning, and I was really going fast, and I was getting close to home, and I'm just about to get there. And I wasn't looking down, and there was a little lip in the sidewalk, and I tripped, and I fell hard, like flat on my face. Luckily, I caught myself. You know, my iPod went flying, my hat came off the whole bit. I almost hit I was lucky I caught myself before I hit my chin. But before I even assessed if I was okay and how did I feel, I immediately looked up to see if anybody saw me. Right? That was what I was most concerned about. Like, oh my goodness, did anyone see me fall on my face? I look like such an idiot. And to me, like, that's one of the things that happens for us, is we're so worried about looking bad. And that's why compliments and acknowledgments, whether we're giving or receiving them, it can be that awkward sort of little bit vulnerable moment.
Yeah.
And because we don't want to look bad or feel embarrassed, we often do these weird things. like not accept the compliment. And back to what you were saying, if someone gives you a compliment and you don't accept it, it's literally like, imagine I handed you a birthday present and said, Kathy, happy birthday. And you took the present and like smashed it on the floor and went, I don't deserve that. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
I would never give you a present again.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And that's what a compliment is. So even though your gremlin may argue with it, or even though you may feel funny, like, oh, if you just said thank you and accepted it, it would be uncomfortable. The best thing you can do is say thank you. And here's the advanced version. When you start to get really good at this, when someone compliments you and you really feel it and believe it, you can say thank you for noticing.
Oh,
because that's I believe, really, we know sometimes when we do something great or we have some great quality, and pretending to be modest about it in some phony way, to me, just disrespects us and whatever that greatness is within us.
Boy, that's powerful stuff. Very, very good.
Yeah.
Very, very good. Mike, and as you also say in your book, don't feel like you have to return a compliment. Like if somebody comes up and tells you they like your new hairstyle,
right,
and you compliment them on their new hairstyle and it's been the same for right, 10 years, that might be a bit insincere.
Oh, totally. And the thing is, if someone's giving you an authentic compliment, they're not looking for anything in return. So we don't have to return it. You know, one of the exercises that I do in my workshops that's really powerful but can sometimes be a little challenging for people is I will have people stand up and we'll make sort of two lines and they'll be paired up across from someone. And then one group, one on one side of the line, is acknowledging the person across from them. And they're practicing. And they're not doing it like a role play. It's like genuinely, here's what I appreciate about you, even if they've just met. Because I believe we can find things to appreciate about people all the time. But the person receiving the compliment is only allowed to say thank you and just let it in. And then the way the exercise works, I rotate them. So like if I was acknowledging you, Kathy, you wouldn't even have a chance to acknowledge me or compliment me back.
Mm.
And what happens when we talk about it afterwards, people say that their initial reaction is uncomfortable because they want to say something back, or they want, you know, but then to realize that what it is, it's a gift, and it actually benefits both people. Because if I give you a compliment and you accept it, it feels good for me and for you. Just like when you give someone a gift for the holidays or for their birthday. You know, when you give someone a really good gift, aren't you so excited just to give it to them?
Yes.
You don't need anything back. You just want to see them be excited about the gift you're giving. And that's what we forget about acknowledgments and compliments, is they really are, you know, even though it's sort of an overused statement, it's a win-win. Only when, though, the person receiving the compliment or the acknowledgment receives it.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
You're terrific.
Thank you.
We'll be right back. Mike Robbins is our guest today on Problems and Solutions, talking about his new book, Focus on the Good Stuff, The Power of Appreciation. Mike, remind us of your website again.
Actually, focusonthegoodstuff.com is probably the best place for people to go. You can actually get a couple free excerpts from the book and all kinds of good stuff.
Okay, focusonthegoodstuff.com. And you are so good about sharing some personal anecdotes from your life to let us know that you too have traveled this road and that it's an ongoing thing for you to try to focus on the good stuff and appreciate every day that you have on this planet. And you tell a story in your book about one of the first speeches that you gave, maybe your very first speech, where you got some rave reviews, but there was one thing that resonated in your head above all others.
Yeah, it was actually my first time that I got paid. So I had just really started as a, you know, professional speaker. It was the beginning of 2001, and I had this kind of dream of doing this. And I was very fortunate, got connected with someone. It's an organization called Sutter Health, which is big out here on the West Coast, like, a, you know, sort of medical centers, hospitals all up and down the West Coast. Anyway, I was giving a speech at one of their hospitals in Sacramento, California. And big deal for me. I give the speech to about 200 hospital managers, administrators, my first time getting paid. All in all, it goes very well, even though I'm incredibly nervous, as you could probably imagine. And afterwards, I'm getting all this positive feedback and pretty amazed with myself. Like, I can't believe I pulled this off. You know, it actually worked. And then the one guy who was sort of my contact at the very end of the day, as I'm getting my stuff, you know, put away and leaving, he said, Mike, you did a great job, but can I give you one piece of feedback? And I said, sure. He said, you know, during your speech, I noticed that you kept rubbing your beard, right? I have a little goatee. And I said, yeah. And he said, I thought at first you were doing it on purpose. Then I thought, you know what, it's probably a nervous habit. I bet you didn't notice. I just wanted to let you know. He said, because it got a little distracting. And I said, thanks, because it actually, I didn't know, and I was appreciative that he'd given me the feedback, because otherwise I wouldn't have known. But as I got in my car to drive from Sacramento back to San Francisco, where I was living at the time, the entire time, Kathy, all I could think about was that I was, oh no, those people probably thought that weird beard rubbing guy, we're, you know, he's an idiot. That's all that was in my head. I couldn't get it out of my head. And I think that that's a great example of, as we were talking before the break, about the gremlin or that negative voice in our head, that we all have that. And the thing that we can do, again, is notice it, but not keep feeding the gremlin. Because, you know, you could walk around and get 10, 20 compliments in a day and one piece of critical feedback, and most of us will focus on that critical feedback. And it's such a waste.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But
yeah.
what a wonderful thing that so many people received you so well, but I'm sure that really did kind of taint the day for you until you got over it. Or
right.
Maybe you never did.
Yeah, but again, it goes back to what are we paying attention to? And that's the thing I really, you know, and I challenge all of us in our culture and the way we relate to life is that we got to really look at things all the way. Because, you know, again, it's like just listen to the news break. I mean, it's, you know, the kid at Nebraska who gets in trouble and is in court for a DUI, right? Now, if that's what happened, he's in trouble, he needs to deal with that, of course. But what about the rest of the kids on the team that, like, didn't get in trouble yesterday? You know, there's no news story about them. And I think, again, that's just a microcosm of how we think. And it's not that issues or problems or mistakes that we make aren't important. Some of them are serious. But, again, it's just disproportionately we focus on that bad stuff about ourselves, about other people, and about life.
Yeah. Okay. We want to make some changes today. What do we do, Mike?
Well, there's a bunch of things that we can do, but the couple simple things that I think are, you know, really easy to implement but important to put into practice. One is start making what I call an appreciation journal or some version of where you write things down that are going well. You know, Oprah Winfrey's been talking about this for years, which I, many reasons why I really respect and admire her, but to, you know, in the morning or in the evening or, you know, whether you're a journal writer or not, sometimes some of my corporate clients, they just have a little, you know, notebook or a little piece of paper on their desk. And at the end of the day, they write down a few things that they're proud of that they did that day. And as simple as that sounds, it's really important for us to take inventory of the good stuff. So that's one thing. Another thing, we talked about it earlier, but just practicing that compliment thing where you just, when someone gives you a compliment, just say thank you. That in and of itself can literally, like, transform your life because you'll start hearing that a lot more compliments come your way than you realize if you can start to accept them. So just saying thank you. Now, on the flip side of the compliments, obviously, is start giving more compliments. And one of the things, whether it's at work or at home, is to literally take time, like when you sit down at dinner with your family, or if you happen to work in an organization, when you start a meeting, or if you happen to be a boss or a supervisor in your job, or even if you don't, take time every day to go in, as Tom Peters, one of the best business consultants in the world, says, celebrate what you want to see more of. So that's a third thing you can do, is just start, you know, giving more compliments. And another specific thing related to that, in our fast-paced, busy, electronic communication world of text messages and emails, like, take time every week to write someone a heartfelt thank you note. So those are some simple things that we can do. You know, Focus on the Good Stuff has, as you mentioned, exercises in it, but at the end of every chapter, I have five or six what I call positive practices that I list. Some of those that I just mentioned are in there because it really is about, you know, Kathy, you and I and so many people listening understand this. The challenge is to actually put it into action, into practice in our lives on a daily basis.
Yes. And as you say in your book, Mike, proactively acknowledging people for no specific reason is one of the most generous and positive things we can do.
Yeah, because a lot of times we're so focused on results. Right? And we think, you know, and so complimenting someone or acknowledging, recognizing someone for what they do or don't do, that's important. But, like, here's an example again from my baseball career where it would become problematic because we got to figure out how to acknowledge and compliment people for no reason or not based on results. Like, when, you know, I was a pitcher in baseball, right? And, you know, anyone listening, whether you're a baseball fan or not, you probably know when the pitcher doesn't do well in the game, you get taken out of the game, right? I mean, they stop the whole game and in front of everybody. They come and take you out. It's very humbling. But what would happen is if I pitched really bad and got taken out of the game early, which was not fun for me or anyone else around, I would come off the mound and I would go sit in the dugout and everybody would leave me alone and not say anything to me because that was kind of the unwritten rule in baseball. And the reason they did that was because that environment was all about results, and because I didn't produce a good result, what are they going to come and say to me? There's not much, you know, acknowledgement to give me based on the fact that I maybe just gave up 8 runs in the third inning or something, right? And the problem was that for me as a human being in that situation, a living, breathing, sometimes insecure human being, I needed someone to come and say something positive. But because the focus was so on results, there's not much acknowledgement that would come. And I think we do that in life. And therefore, if we do compliment people, it's usually because they did something. So what we can start to do is proactively, like with your children, with your friends, with your coworkers, with your family, especially with your spouse or significant other, is to let them know, not just because they did something nice for you, but because you just care about them. Hey, this is what I appreciate about you. My wife, Michelle, is really, really good at this, and we have a thing that we do, what we call, and I write about this and focus on the good stuff, called Create the Day. And what we do is we'll say proactively to each other in the morning, this is who you are for me today. You know, and it may be beautiful or, you know, intelligent or wonderful or loving or whatever the case may be. And it's not necessarily because my wife just did something wonderful that I'm thanking her for. And in doing so, what I do is get to express my love and appreciation for her, but I also sort of fill her up, if you will, that, wow, my husband is relating to me as this brilliant, beautiful, amazing person. And, you know, we can do that, whether it's with our spouse or with our friends or with people we work with.
And what a difference that would make in your psyche for the whole day and beyond.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we've got to do that. And, I mean, again, back to my relationship with Michelle, I mean, one of the challenges we face is I'm on the road now, especially a lot with my book, and we've got a little 20-month-old Samantha at home who we absolutely adore, but there's times I'm away. And if Michelle and I don't proactively do that for one another, making sure to thank and acknowledge each other for everything we're doing, it's easy to get resentful. Because that's I think the biggest reason in any relationship, especially we're talking about love relationships, why we get in fights or ultimately why people split up, it's not because of the money, it's not because of the this or the that or the specific thing, you know, that we're arguing about. It's usually because one or both people aren't feeling appreciated and acknowledged by the other one. It's some version of you have no idea what it's like to be me, and that's usually what starts all the fights, right?
Right. And we think so much about how your book could be good for us in our interpersonal relationships, especially in the workplace, but good golly, Miss Molly, I'm thinking you've probably saved some marriages, Mike.
Well, I mean, I appreciate you saying that. I do some, you know, one-on-one coaching or working with individuals or couples, and you know, I have my own experience from my relationship and, you know, some common sense stuff. It's not my area of expertise per se, but so much of what I talk about and focus on the good stuff in my work in general is very relevant to marriages and love relationships, because that's the place often where even the people we love the most, sometimes we forget to appreciate and we take them for granted. You know, and it's, I mean, again, nobody's perfect. I mean, I can't tell you how many times Michelle will turn to me and say, okay, Mr. Appreciation, you know, when I'm being, you know, as she will say, sort of negative or critical, either of her or in general. So, again, you know, I believe we teach best what we most need to learn, so there's no accident that I'm out teaching people about appreciation when sometimes I struggle, right?
We don't want you to be too perfect.
Oh, no, it'd be annoying, right?
Exactly. Mike Robbins, our guest today, his book is Focus on the Good Stuff, The Power of Appreciation. Mike Robbins, author of the book, Focus on the Good Stuff, The Power of Appreciation. We have a few minutes left with Mike on problems and solutions. As I was telling you during the break, I feel like there are so many directions I want to go in this precious few 5 minutes that we have left. What do you most want our listeners to think about in this five-minute period of time? What can you leave us with, Mike?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of times we think of appreciation and gratitude is this after-the-fact phenomenon, right? Like after things go well, or when I have some time, or when things are really the way I want them to be, then of course I'll be appreciative and grateful. And my challenge to everybody is twofold. Number one is to stop right now in your life, no matter how good you think it is or how awful you think it is, and look for the good stuff that's happening, because I promise there's more good stuff in your life than you probably realize. And then the second part of that is to realize that when we stop and focus on the good stuff, it's not simply just the power of positive thinking, although that's part of it. It really is one of, if not the most powerful forces that we have at our disposal to create the life that we want. So as Gandhi said, right, we must be the change we wish to see in the world. We must be grateful first, and when we come from a place of gratitude, we create more things to be grateful for.
That's so good. That's so, so very good. You also have some words of wisdom from Marianne Williamson in your book, as she talks about, you know, how, and I'm paraphrasing now, about why me, you know, why not me?
Right. I mean, she says in her famous quote that often gets misattributed to Nelson Mandela, he actually allegedly, although it's not confirmed that he used it in a speech, but it got his name attached to it and then around the internet. But she says, you know, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. And we ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You're playing small doesn't serve the world. And I love this line in it. She says, there's nothing enlightened about you shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. And I really believe, and Marianne, who's inspired me so much throughout the course of my life and my growth, who happens to also be a friend and mentor of mine, that that quote, which I have actually right here in my office as you were mentioning it, which is how I was reading from it verbatim there, is so important for us to remember, because we don't need to walk around apologizing for how great we are. And there's a big distinction that I make, Kathy, in the book, the difference between arrogance and self-appreciation, because for a lot of people it feels similar. Arrogance, which we all have times in our lives when we act or say arrogant things, I catch myself all the time doing it. And when we're being arrogant, it's when we're coming from a place of fear. So if I'm insecure, if I'm trying to impress you, I might say something that's arrogant. And I'll notice it because I can feel it. And then when we're coming from a totally different place, which is what I call self-appreciation, that's from a deep place of confidence, of honoring ourselves, and fundamentally of really loving ourselves. And that, I believe, more than anything else in life, is the most important thing, because if we don't love ourselves, nothing we do really matters. I mean, I could still be playing baseball. I could be pitching for the Cleveland Indians, let's say, in the American League Championship Series, which would be phenomenal. But it would only be as valuable as I appreciated it and enjoyed it and allowed myself to appreciate myself doing it. It's not about the thing. It's about how we feel about it. And if we don't love ourselves, right, no matter what we accomplish is relatively hollow. So this quote from Marianne Williamson about us really owning our greatness, I think, is really fundamental, because that's the key to life. And when we appreciate ourselves genuinely, we actually have more energy, more space, if you will, to do that for other people and to see life from that perspective.
Wow. No wonder you call it focusing on the good stuff. This is good stuff.
Yeah.
And we just have another minute here before we need to go to break. But one thing I meant to get to and didn't, so we'll just need a little nugget from you on this, but creating gossip-free zones in our lives.
Yeah, that's a big one. Again, our words don't just describe, they create. So when we sit around and gossip about people, which we all do, and it's just part of human nature, it really has a negative impact on us and other people. And the gossip-free zone, which I do with some of my corporate clients and just with people in general, is literally you create a container, whether in your home or, you know, for this meeting or this part, we're not going to gossip. And then in a very kind way, you just remind other people if you notice that they're gossiping. And I challenge everyone listening to see if you can go the rest of today without gossiping about anybody. And that means that whatever you'd say, if you were going to say it, would you say it if the person was standing right there? And if the answer is no, then don't say it.
Mm-hmm. Good advice.
Yes.
This is just really an exceptionally good book, Mike. I read a lot of books, and this is one of the best ones I've read in a long time. So
well,
I commend you on your wonderful words of wisdom and for walking the walk. Mm. And I know that you love traveling around and spreading this message. So yes. I hope you're able to do that for a long time to come. And I hope sometime perhaps you'll get even into Lincoln, Nebraska. That would be terrific.
I'll be in Des Moines actually end of next week. So in your general neck of the woods, but I hopefully will be in Omaha and in Lincoln sometime very soon. And if so, Kathy, I will let you know. Maybe we'll do this in person.
Put us at the top of your list. Thank you so much, Mike,
absolutely,
for being with us today. Mike Robbins talking about his book, Focus on the Good Stuff, The Power of Appreciation. And his website is focusonthegoodstuff.com. And I'll be back to remind you of all of this in just a little bit.